Welcome to this special edition of the Iowa Blog. I say special because as we have pursued, I think we're through 15 episodes of Dode's Song and now six or seven in the garden, this is going to be the first of a new series. It's called Solving Puzzles. Now, you may want to question, what puzzle are we going to solve? We're going to solve the very puzzle of life. Why we exist, why we are here, what God actually revealed to us, how we can know that it was Yahweh, the creator God of the universe, speaking to us through the prophets and the Psalms that we are going to delve into as part of this series. You see, God was put in a very interesting position by man. And it's kind of unusual for us to think that mankind could put God in a unusual position where he would have to communicate through puzzles as opposed to forthrightly with us. Now, that's not to say that God misled us. He didn't. He just spoke in a way that required someone to unravel, to piece together what he had presented. It's very much like taking a jigsaw puzzle out of the box and dumping all the pieces on top of the table. And you're saying, oh boy, what is this going to be? And when they dump on the table, you know, about half of them are right side up, half of them are upside down. So the first thing you have to do is you take all the pieces and you get them right side up. That's a really good start. The next thing you have to make sure is that the whole puzzle is right there. So you got the whole puzzle that you'll have a chance to review. And I'm always very systematic in my puzzling, just as I have been during the 23 years that I have tried to share with you the very words that God himself revealed to us, and then to explain the picture that God was painting after we put the pieces all into place. So the very first thing I will do every time I do a jigsaw puzzle, it's always the same approach. I take related colors. So I will look at pieces that all share a similar hue or a pattern or whatever it may be, but I will put groups of puzzle pieces all around the table. I even have trays for them. So I have these little plastic trays, and each of the plastic trays are specifically designed to hold a particular pattern or color. And I take them, and so I'll go through the entire puzzle, all 1,000 pieces, and I'll assort them that way. Then the next thing I will do is I will look for all of the edge pieces, because framing the issue is central to understanding. When people present lots of information to you, unless they have properly framed the issue that you're going to be discussing so that you have the proper perspective to understand it, you know exactly where they are going with this, then it's very, very difficult to understand. It's exceedingly hard to perceive truth and to comprehend something unless the issue is properly framed. So that's the next thing I will do. And then it's all about being systematic and putting the pieces together so that all of the ins and outs all work in harmony together. And I'll even be systematic with that. Once I've got my pieces together, I will arrange all of the pieces with a single out and three ins together. Then I'll arrange all the pieces with all outs and then with all ins and every variation of them. Because once you start putting the pieces together, what you find is, well, proximity to the other pieces. Therefore, context determines what shape is going to fit into all of this. What I have actually just described as it relates to solving jigsaw puzzles and this methodical approach of framing the issue, getting all of the like hues and colors and shadings together, forming then an understanding of that each piece has a unique shape so that it fits in context with another piece, is actually called chokma from Yahweh's perspective. And chokma is having the skill, the discernment, the judgment to know how things fit together so that you can transition from knowing I've got a lot of pieces here on the table to understanding when they're all put together correctly and you see the picture as a whole. And then you can even relate that picture to all of the other pictures Yahweh has drawn for us. So we were doing a family hour show this past Friday. And during that show, one of our covenant members, a longtime listener, posted something from the 78th Mizmor, and it just pierced my soul. It was, oh my, this is precisely what we're doing. This is why we're here. And so I'm going to share that with you. And what he did not indicate at the time is that presentation that I had written previously, and it happens to be in An Introduction to God, Volume 2, of the 78th Mizmor, does something that is my favorite as it relates to teaching and solving puzzles, if you will. Rather than just present the lyrics of the 78th Mizmor and say, oh, you figure it out. What I did is I integrated the lyrics of the 78th Mizmor with Yeshayah, Isaiah 25, and even beyond that. Because it is when you see the picture from the perspective that the prophet painted, then all the pieces fall into their correct positions. So we're going to take that same approach as we do this today. And the reason for doing it is that quite some time ago, 23 years now, when Yahweh asked me to re-engage and begin by exposing Israel's primary enemy, let's identify who the enemy is so you understand their tactics, and therefore we wrote the books on Islam. And then began translating Yahweh's testimony from the oldest extant sources and explaining it to form the books of of Yadah Yahweh, now under the Yahweh brand. There was always this question in the back of my mind. Why choose me? There were 7 billion people on the planet at the time. I didn't even know Yahweh's name. I mean, my only qualifications, I thought, were that I had, in the years prior to that, disassociated from religion. I came up with 20 questions in Christianity, and I had previously been a Christian, that no one could answer. And I realized no one could answer, and they precluded me being honest, intellectually honest, and remaining a Christian. So I was no longer a Christian. And I had been very engaged in politics prior to this time. And then I got to know the political actors. I mean, personally, I had them in my home. I was in their home. I got to know these characters. And I was just appalled by them. And politics is nothing but the arena of unbridled egos. If you want to see absolute proof, go knock on the front door of the White House today. Now, the president he replaced was comatose, so it was Weekend at Bernie's. So I'm not sure that it's always the arena of egos. It may have been the egos of his managers that put him up for that job. Anyway, it is the arena of egos. I had disassociated myself from politics, became apolitical, and I was anti-religious because I realized that the religion of Christianity had played me for a fool. It absolutely, under no circumstances, could be true. And subsequently, I proved that. Yahweh asked me to write the 5 volumes of Twistianity, which proved conclusively that everything about Christianity, including the myth of a Jesus Christ, is all for naught. So I figured that, okay, the very fact I'd walked away from religion and politics at least made me a viable candidate as someone to talk to. Okay, so there's other people that had done that. Why me? Why would God approach me? I had no skills in ancient languages. I had no scholastic training. I had been a former businessman. Why me? And I initially assumed that the next reason might have been nothing more than I was willing and no one else was. You know, I got the job by default. You're the only one that was willing to listen to me. So you're it. Okay. You know, it's God asking you to do something. So that was still okay. I didn't have a problem with being the only responsive person on the planet. But that wasn't it either. The reason was a Hebrew word. It's called bien. It is the difference between yad. I began communicating, and Yahweh has reinforced the name that I chose very early on, which was Yada, which means to know, to recognize, to have a familiarity with something. And so I became quite familiar with the words that Yahweh was sharing with us, and was very comfortable sharing them with you. But knowledge alone won't get it done. There has been a number of attacks on me recently as they say, you know, why didn't you translate everything and why instead did you, you know, do these other projects? Well, because, well, Yahweh asked me to do these other projects and I thought that was a good idea to follow his advice and to protect his people by doing so and clearing away the clutter that has been piled on top of the truth so that it could be seen for the first time. That's like taking the cover off the jigsaw puzzle box. And so I did those things. But what I realized is that the translations, although I was making more complete, more accurate translations than ever before in a very innovative style that those who have read my books have seen, it's the only approach to presenting the word of Yahweh like it in the universe that's ever existed. And what I realized is that while these are more accurate, while they are more amplified, that alone isn't going to get the job done. The text that I was translating has been available in thousands of different translations for thousands of years. And yet no one understood how the pieces of this puzzle fit together. So I began to share the insights that I could derive from it. It gets us back to bien. So we began with yada. I know what the words mean now, and I've shared those, so you can yada. But no one understood what the how this picture fit together so that they could appreciate what God was offering and asking in return, which is pretty essential if you want to form a relationship with him. And bien does that. Bien says that if you want to comprehend, if you want to understand, what you need to learn how to do is to make the proper connections, like the jigsaw puzzle. You can't pit a big outie and a little innie. That's a technical term for your jigsaw puzzle workers. The pieces have to fit together. You can't hammer them together. You can't misfit. There's only one way that the picture fits together correctly. And so making the proper connections between things became the single most essential aspect of what I was doing. For the first time ever, I was going to help those who wanted to know the truth actually understand who Yahweh is, who he's not, what he is asking from us, what he doesn't ever want to see in our midst, and what he is offering us, which is so very different than what religious interpretations have conveyed. Understanding, making the proper connections. And when you do that, what you are essentially doing is solving the puzzle. And it's this puzzle that Yahweh has inspired through his words and through his spirit that I'm the first to solve in 3,000 years. And that is why we are doing the Yahweh blog. And it is in the 78th Mizmor that the whole concept of solving puzzles is introduced. So in this, which will be a shorter version of the Yahweh blog from our normal full hour renditions, it'll be about 30 minutes in this program today. We're going to get into the beginning of the 78th Mizmor, and we're going to find out how it leads then us into Yeshaya Isaiah for elucidation. So the psalm we're going to consider, excuse me, it was scribed by my king, your king, if you choose to join us in the covenant family, my savior and your savior, again, if you wish to be part of this, the chosen one of Yahweh, his beloved son, and our Messiah. And while that is true that he scribed it, the voice he is recording for us is none other than Yahweh. And it begins. This is a call to be circumspect, to understand and to prosper. Wow. Dode was cerebral. I mean, Dode was a was the full experience in terms of what humanity can offer, and that he was, well, mind over heart. He was far more emotional than most men, but by the same token, he was probably the most cerebral to ever live among us. And Dode celebrates what here is maskil. It is being circumspect, coming to understand so that you prosper. Maskil, if you were to amplify its meaning, is a call to be circumspect, to understand, and therefore to prosper. Using the lyrics of this song, which encourage the listener to be prudent, to pay attention, to consider its insights, and to gain comprehension. Maskil is from sakal, and ma means to ponder the implications of, and sakal is thoughtful contemplation. For the purpose of asha, valuing this treasure and this storehouse where the most valuable treasures are kept. Akof is also the name of Dode's favorite Lowy musician, but in this case, the musician's name is meaningless to us. What his name means is meaningful to us. So this is a call to be circumspect and to understand, indeed to prosper, for the purpose of Akof, valuing these treasures. My people, which would be Yisrael, made a point in our family hour that I didn't explain as well as I should have. I'm going to take just a moment here from this to explain it. I said that you can't, as a goy, as a ger, foreigner, call anything that is set apart unto Yahweh yours. Nothing that is set apart unto Yahweh, including any one of the seven Moed Mikre, including his Torah, including his covenant, including his Ruach Kodesh, set apart spirit. None of the things set apart unto Yahweh belong to Goyim. Goyim are typically estranged from Yah. Now, that's not to say that a Goy or a Ger, foreigner, can't enjoy these benefits associated with the covenant. They can. But for a Goy to enjoy the benefits of the covenant, for a Goy to participate in Pesach, which is for Yisrael and those who are sojourning, living with and among Yisrael, attitudinally at least, you need to see yourself becoming part of Yisrael. Yisrael is also set apart to Yahweh. And so for us to be part of God's family, for us to be included in fellowship with our Messiah, our mentality has to be that we are joining Yisrael, not set apart from Yisrael. So we are joining Yisrael, becoming one with Yisrael. That's why all of the books that I have written, when I went through this, the first massive rewrite of them and representation of them, the primary goal was to convey everything to Yisrael, knowing that there would be Goyim who would also benefit, but that the Goyim who would benefit would stand with Yisrael, that their mentality would be that we are in this together, that Yahweh is calling his people home. His people are Yisraelites, inclusive of Yehudim, the beloved of Yah, and that we are joining them. Everything that is conveyed here is conveyed on behalf of Yisrael. When Dode says, my people, my family, He is speaking of Yisrael, and particularly of Yehudim. My people, you should choose to listen and respond. Azan. Azan is to pay close attention so that you hear the message and that you choose the most appropriate response. It is slightly different than Shema. Shema is the primary Hebrew word for listen, to hear. With Azan, which addresses the ear, attached to the noggin up here, so that what goes in the ear is processed in the brain. And when it's processed in the brain, you come down here to the old ticker so that you understand the implications of it and you're motivated to respond to what you have heard. So it's to pay close attention so that you hear the message and then you choose the most appropriate reply. Here it was written in the Hiffel, imperative, paragogic, hey, cohortive. Oh boy, that's a lot, isn't it? So I hear the Hiffel would say that we as the object of this statement, mean part of Yisrael, are influenced by the subject delivering this message, who is Dod himself, speaking to his people, such that we become his understudy, so that we are, by listening to this, our response will be similar and shaped by Dod's words. That's what the Hiffel implies. And then we read that it's in the imperative. The imperative is second person volition. So it says, we should choose to listen. The choice is ours. We can choose to ignore Dod. We can choose to, well, do what Christianity has done and what Judaism did, to write Dod out of their lives, to replace him with a false messiah who is no more real than, Santa Claus or the Easter, the Ishtar Bunny, or the Tooth Fairy, for that, imagine. Jesus Christ never existed. He's similar to Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. And Bar Kokhba most certainly was not the Messiah. And that was the claim of the founder of Rabbinic Judaism. You can't start off with a mistake of that magnitude and then expect to be credible, I guess, unless it's a religious myth. And then, you know, nobody thinks anyway. So this is written such that you're being encouraged to choose to respond appropriately here. And when you add the imperative to the paragogic hey, it means I am really exhorting you here. While it's your choice, I'm telling you that this is really important for you. I'm going to give you every ounce of my passion here, Dod is saying, because I really, really, really think it's important to get your attention. And in this particular case, he added the cohortative, which means my people, I really want, it's my desire that you should choose to listen and respond emphatically. That would convey the whole essence of this. So very important that you understand how these Hebrew stems and moods and conjugations and all of this work together. So my people, I really want you to choose to listen and offer an emphatic response to my Torah teaching. To my Torah teaching. Dod was Dod because he knew and he loved the Torah. What follows here is a teaching. It is a guidance. It's an insight. It is direction from God because it is shaped by his understanding of the Torah. Torah does not mean law. Torah is from Yara, which means it's the source from which guidance, instruction, teaching, and direction flow. One of the great lies ever perpetrated by religion, and it permeates the religions of Judaism and Christianity is that the Torah is law. There is nothing associated with the Torah that is law. It means teaching and guidance, instruction and direction. Yahweh himself told us the verb upon which Torah is based. There's not even a Hebrew word for obey. So we need to get that straight. The reason that Dod is pleading with his people, Yisrael, and those who want to be part of Yisrael, Israel and its highest calling is individuals who choose to engage and endure with God. My people, I want you to choose to listen and then respond to my Torah teaching and guidance. Now, isn't that really interesting? Every time we read about the Torah, it's always the Torah of Moshe. But the Torah is Yahweh's. And the Torah, by the way, isn't the Talmud. The Talmud has nothing to do with the Torah. It's one of the great rabbinic lies that they're reading their Talmud is studying the Torah. It is not. Observing the Talmud, they want you to believe, is observing the Torah. It is not. It's man's arguments. The Torah is Yahweh's. But here, Dod is claiming the Torah teaching for himself. I want to tell you, to go to that point is way beyond anything I would ever, ever say. I want you to understand the Torah teaching of Yahweh. But here, Dod is saying, I want you to listen to and respond to my Torah teaching. Do you think he had a separate Torah? Absolutely not. The 109th Mizmor is all about Dod singing the praises of Yahweh's Torah. Even the 19th Mizmor speaks of the Torah being perfect and complete. It is the document which is responsible for restoring our souls. And he knows that you cannot responsibly add to or take away from Yahweh's Torah without running afoul and angering the Almighty. So when he says, my Torah, what Dod has done is what Yahweh wants all of us to do. In fact, Yahweh is actually going to do this for us. When the Torah is finally reaffirmed and the Torah is the covenant is reaffirmed. I'm sorry. The covenant is reaffirmed. And Yahweh brings Yisrael and Yahudim together on the day of reconciliations in year 6000 Yah, when he and his son return. And the relationship is resolved between God and his wayward family. One of the differences between that and what we have experience thus far is that now we all have the opportunity to ignore the Torah or to incorporate it into our lives. I've chosen to incorporate it into my life. And the reason we have that choice is because we're approaching the very end of the period where we as individuals have this opportunity to either capitalize on Yahweh's Torah guidance and engage in the covenant and attend the Moed Mikre and celebrate who Yahweh really is and what he is offering, even to acknowledge him by name, or reject it. And so once the covenant is reaffirmed and Yahweh is living in our presence with Dod, then everyone who will have survived to that time will have made the choice to incorporate the Torah's teaching and guidance into their lives. And therefore, Yahweh says, I'm going to write my Torah. I'm going to actually scribe it right inside of us. So his Torah becomes our Torah. So this is something that Yahweh actually wants us to do. It's just way too much for me to say that it's listen to my Torah. I want you to listen to Yahweh's Torah. We'll get to a point where Yahweh's Torah and my Torah are the same Torah. But Dod, he's not like the rest of us. Dod is Yahweh's chosen one. He is Yahweh's Mashiach Messiah that Yahweh himself anointed. Dod is the very Son of God, and he's about his Father's business. And so Dod can say this, and when he says it, we should see Dod and his life as the living embodiment of Yahweh's Torah. So this is a Mizmor lyric, Psalm 78:1. We haven't even gotten yet to the point of puzzles to be solved, but we will in the next statement from Dod. But I just wanted to give you a teaser. I wanted to get started putting the pieces, if you will, of this ultimate puzzle, the puzzle that defines life itself, that explains our purpose, that introduces us to the Creator God of the universe, and explains how we get off this blue marble spinning in the darkness of space alive. I want to put the pieces, start putting them on the table, start getting them organized for you. And when we resume with part two of solving puzzles, we'll take the next step along the way. I am Craig Wynn, and this has been the Yahweh Blog.